The reading this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 8. Certain elders of Israel came to me and sat down before me, and the word of the Lord came to me. Mortal, these men have taken their idols into their hearts and placed their iniquity as a stumbling block before them. Shall I let myself be consulted by them? Therefore speak to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, any of those of the house of Israel who take their idols into their hearts and place their iniquity as a stumbling block before them and yet come to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer those who come with the multitude of their idols in order that I may take hold of the hearts of the house of Israel, all of whom are estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn away from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For any of those of the house of Israel, or of the aliens who reside in Israel, who separate themselves from me, taking their idols into their hearts, and placing their iniquity as a stumbling block before them, and yet come to a prophet to inquire of me by him, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. I will set my face against them. I will make them a sign and a byword and cut them off from the midst of my people. And you shall know that I am the Lord.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here, continuing our series on freedom in Christ. We've seen so far in our series that we are in a spiritual battle, that Jesus has won our freedom, but while we live this life, there's still the spiritual battle. And so we need to take action. We need to take action to claim the freedom that Jesus has already won for us. And so in this reading from Ezekiel, the prophet was recognized by the elders of Israel as a man of God. They recognized that Ezekiel had the power of God resting upon him. But they also hedged their bets. They had these idols, they prayed to Baal and Ashtoreth and others. They made sacrifices to God and did the sacrifices for sin. But because of the willful continuation of those sins, God rejected their sacrifices. He describes their idols as a sin that is a stumbling block before them. And so God says they're kind of trapped in this net of their own making. They're captured. And so when they come to the Lord for help, he doesn't respond. He rejects them. God says they are estranged from him. They have actually done the separating. They have separated themselves from me, he says. This is really serious. These are the elders of the people of God, but they are rejected and estranged. God is a God of compassion and mercy. And so through the prophet Ezekiel, God tells these elders the remedy. He says, repent, turn away from your idols, turn away your faces from all of these abominations. The concept of turning away is used three times in the passage. God's saying it's not a small thing. It's not just about a confession and moving on. This requires a comprehensive turning that amounts to totally rejecting or renouncing these idols. That's our focus for today. In really practical ways, we're going to explore why we need to renounce things and how we go about renouncing the ungodly things in our lives. There in the time of Ezekiel, it was not enough for Israel just to repent. These things have become that stumbling block. They're this baggage in their lives, and it needs something more comprehensive than a simple confession. They need to renounce their sin. They need to break all partnership with it. The Proverbs gave Israel a lot of wisdom about how this works. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, no one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but the one who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. We see here again, it's not enough to merely confess or repent. The word that's translated forsake means to be at a distance, to be unattached, to abandon, to leave behind. It could be used to describe being widowed. It's got this idea of a complete severing of the connection that once was. This is what it means to renounce in the spiritual realm those things which we once partnered with but now want to be completely separate from. We don't merely confess them, we don't only repent, we also renounce. We must renounce all partnership with transgressions, be it sin or unhealthy inner vows or ungodly beliefs. In our prayer ministry here at Oak Tree, we intentionally take people through both of those steps, repent and renounce. We repent, asking God the judge for forgiveness, and we renounce breaking all partnership or agreement with that which is ungodly. No one who conceals transgressions will prosper, but the one who confesses and forsakes, who repents and renounces, will obtain mercy. The effect of this repentance and renunciation is seen in the wisdom of another proverb. In Proverb 26, verse 2, it says, "Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, an undeserved curse goes nowhere." You see, sins and vows and words spoken over our lives and words we accept into our lives, they can cling to us. They can hang on to us, a bit like baggage. They can become an open door for the enemy, hanging around and providing footholds and openings. And sometimes we don't even realise that they are there. They cling to us unrenounced and hang on to us as an open door for the enemy. Well, as we established in previous weeks, we are in a spiritual battle. Jesus has won our freedom, but the spirits of darkness seek to draw us back. A curse connected to sin can continue to affect us even after we're forgiven. A curse connected to an inner vow we've made can have a real effect on our lives. A curse connected to an ungodly belief we've been carrying around can be a foothold or an opening for oppression, harassment, affliction, temptation. When we both repent and renounce these things, the strategies of the enemy to oppress us and afflict us become like a sparrow flitting its wings or a swallow in its flying. They can go nowhere if the footholds and openings have been removed. These proverbs were well known to the elders of Israel, and through Ezekiel, God calls them to repent and renounce their idols. The question we then need to ask is, what about today? We know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we also know that Jesus brought a lot of change in what it looks like to live as the people of God. Is renunciation still important for Christians today? Did Jesus' death and resurrection change it? Well, firstly, there are the very practical effects that we see in everyday life. For example, sins that become a habit can be as hard to break as any other habit. We know that the effects of sin ripple on. Even though we may say sorry, the hurt and the damage that's been caused is still there. When it comes to inner vows, these too can have lasting impacts. The person who vows while young, "I will never be poor," may grow to become a workaholic for whom there's never enough. The person who says, "I will never forgive that person," can grow to carry a bitterness and pain that stays with them. The person who grows up in a home lacking warmth and encouragement may take on hurtful things that were done and say, "No one will ever love me." And through their life, they might find it hard to establish healthy relationships. Now, many of the inner vows we make are understandable responses to difficult, painful, scary experiences. It's understandable why we make them. But if we want to truly walk in the freedom that Jesus has won for us, we need to not only seek healing, but to completely break the effect of those vows over our lives. In Galatians 6, verse 7, we read, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You reap what you sow." Flowing from this principle of sowing and reaping, there's a saying, "If you accept a belief, you reap a thought. If you sow a thought, you reap an attitude." If you sow an attitude, you reap an action. If you sow an action, you reap a habit. And if you sow a habit, you reap a character. We can observe these effects in life. We've seen it explained in Old Testament wisdom. The people of God needed to do more than just repent, but to renounce and break all partnership with the things that are not of God. But what did Jesus say? Well, in Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus says, "Everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you'll be acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned." Throughout the Bible, we see that words are powerful. From the creation poem in Genesis 1, where God is depicted as creating through the spoken word, to the closing of Revelation, where John warns against adding or changing even one of the words of God, we see that there is power in words. The words we believe, the words we speak over ourselves, the words we accept are powerful. Those inner vows are words by which we can be condemned. But by words of renunciation and the power of Jesus, we can be set free. We may look back on those inner vows and ungodly beliefs we've taken on and say, they were just empty words. But they weren't. They had an effect. It's a bit like these things I've got hanging off me here. Our sins, vows, and ungodly beliefs become like baggage, hanging off us and holding us back. Each one becomes an opening or a foothold for the enemy to attack, oppress, afflict, or tempt us. Each one weighs us down and prevents us from walking in the freedom that Jesus Christ won for us. It's important to realize that we can be forgiven and yet still have this baggage. Earlier in this series, Mark talked about Jesus erasing the charge sheet against us and nailing it to the cross. All the sins we've committed, if we've come under the lordship of Jesus, are erased and forgiven from our charge sheet. We've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, but the baggage and some of its effects may still hang around. Sometimes people are set fully free with a more general prayer, but it's often more effective in seeking freedom to be specific in our renunciation, particularly for things that we recognize are still troubling us. We renounce the things in our lives that cause guilt or shame, the things that keep recurring or weigh on our memory. When we see unhealthy patterns in our lives, it's useful to consider whether there are things we've inadvertently partnered with that may be a baggage holding us back from freedom. For example, take this green sin. It's forgiven, but the partnership forged with it is still affecting my life. To be set free from this green sin, I might pray, "Lord Jesus, I confess this sin, this green sin. I renounce this sin, and in your name I cut myself off from all partnership with this sin. I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of this sin. Spirits of darkness who've used this sin to tempt or afflict me, in Jesus' name I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I have been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to this sin, both in me and in others who've been hurt by my actions. Fill me afresh with your spirit so that I can more clearly discern your voice and live a holy life pleasing to you." And it's gone. So that is a really useful prayer for significant sins that we've acknowledged and repented of. Another useful thing about renunciation is that it makes sure that we have truly acknowledged sin. If there's a sin that we struggle to confess out loud, even to the Lord, it may be that we're still in justification mode. We may be trying to justify why this sin isn't really our fault, and it's totally understandable why we still struggle with it. And if you understood the background to how I got into this sin, and so we might be in justification mode. Well, if there's a sin that you just don't want to think about when it comes to confession, maybe that's the exact sin God's calling you to confess. to renounce and break partnership with, to confront and acknowledge it as sin, to stop justifying the sin and excusing it as not so bad, to stop nurturing that sin and giving it a place in your life. That's what the elders of Israel were doing with their idols. And Ezekiel told them that sin was a stumbling block in front of them. It meant they were separating themselves from God and meant God would not respond to their prayers. Sin is serious stuff. It's true when we sing about the overwhelming, never-ending love of God, the love that fights for us and searches for us. But it's also true that God expects us to respond to his mercy with holiness, with devotion, with complete repentance and renunciation of sin. So perhaps on reflection, I realise there is this blue sin I've been ignoring. I haven't wanted to really look at it before, but it's time. It's time to acknowledge sin is sin. And as hard as it is, it's time to break partnership with it so that I can honour all that Jesus has done for me. So I might pray, Lord Jesus, I confess this sin, this blue sin. I renounce this sin, and in your name, I cut myself off from all partnership with this sin. I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of this sin. Spirits of darkness who've used this sin to tempt or afflict me, in Jesus' name, I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I've been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to this sin, both in me and in others who've been hurt by my actions. Fill me with your spirit so that I can more clearly discern your voice and live a holy life pleasing to you. Wow, I'm already so much more free. The baggage is gone. Later in the service, I'm going to give you an opportunity to bring things before God and to pray a very similar prayer. But for now, there's still this inner vow hanging on to me. And I recognise it's not something God wants me to live under any longer. I need to be set free from it. In 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, Paul writes, "Indeed, we live as human beings, but we do not wage war according to human standards. For the weapons of our warfare are not merely human, but they have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every proud obstacle raised up against the knowledge of God, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ." Our words have power, but so does renunciation, and so does the power of God to set us free when we claim that freedom in Jesus' name. When we're willing to take every thought, every belief, every vow, and make it captive and obedient to Jesus Christ. Strongholds are real. This vow, it's been providing an entryway for the enemy to oppress me and afflict me. But today, I'm going to own my status as a child of God. I'm going to claim the power to destroy this stronghold and set me free. And so I might pray, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge this inner vow of yellow that I made. It was made in a time of distress, but it was a vow that did not reflect your truth or your plan for my life. I repent of making this yellow vow. I renounce this inner vow, and in your name, I cut myself free from it. I cut myself free from all partnership with this vow. I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of this vow. Spirits of darkness who've used this inner vow to oppress me, tempt me, or afflict me, in Jesus' name, I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I've been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to this inner vow. Fill me afresh with your spirit so that I can more clearly discern your voice and live a holy life pleasing to you. Again, what a great feeling to be free from the effects of that inner vow. But finally, there's still this ungodly belief. Ungodly beliefs happen when we take on beliefs from the world around us, usually not even really thinking about it. They become part of the worldview we absorb from our family, from our culture, from our experiences. Perhaps we take on a belief that we need to be good enough for God to love us. Perhaps we take on superstitions or good luck concepts that stop us relying only on God. Perhaps they're beliefs about what we think God owes us, what we deserve. Perhaps they're ungodly beliefs that justify sin and stop us from living the holy life we're called to. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its sinful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Do not give the devil a foothold." With all that we've been talking about today, sins, inner vows, ungodly beliefs, they are part of the old self that we need to consciously put off. It takes a specific and deliberate putting off of the old self, and renunciation is an important part of that. Having renounced that which is not of God, the Holy Spirit can make new the attitude of our minds and enable us to put on the new self. If we don't properly put off the old self, we leave the devil a foothold and opening. We leave avenues for oppression and affliction. And so finally today, I'm going to get rid of this ungodly belief that's weighing me down and stopping me from walking in the full freedom that Jesus won for me. I might pray, "Lord Jesus, I acknowledge this ungodly belief of red that I have held. I acknowledge that it is false and does not reflect your truth. I repent of this ungodly belief. I renounce this ungodly belief, and in your name I cut myself off from all partnership with this belief. I instead replace this ungodly red belief with your truth that I'm your beloved child and made in your image. I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of this red belief. Spirits of darkness who've used this ungodly belief to oppress me, tempt me, or afflict me, in Jesus' name, I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I've been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to this ungodly belief. Fill me afresh with your Spirit so that I can more clearly discern your voice and your truth, living a holy life pleasing to you." Wow! And I'm free. That's a pretty great feeling when the baggage is gone. I'm set free. Now, for us in our life, freedom in Christ is a process. It's often the process of a lifetime. As we grow and learn, there'll often be new things that the Lord brings to mind or shows us that we need to deal with. And so it's good to be alert. It's good to periodically do a spiritual health check, to ask the Holy Spirit to show you any sins or vows or ungodly beliefs that you need to repent of and renounce. To ask God to bring to mind anything that's hindering your walk with Him and your service of His kingdom. And that's what we're going to do right here and now. We're going to have some space for you to come before the Lord, and I encourage you to be truly open to the voice of the Spirit. Be alert to whatever comes to mind as we pray and wait. What comes to mind is likely the thing that God wants to work on in your life. What comes to mind is the thing that God says you can be set free from today, if you are willing. And so let us pray. Holy Spirit, we come before you now and we wait upon you. We ask you to speak, to bring to our attention those aspects of our life which are not aligned with your truth and holiness. Bring to mind that which we need to repent of and renounce. Where it is difficult for us to confront these things, grant us the courage to heed your voice. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We'll start by dealing with the sins that God has brought to mind. If the Lord has brought sin to mind, I invite you to pray with me now. I'll leave space for you to be specific before the Lord. I encourage you to have the boldness to verbally name the sin that you are renouncing even as a whisper with your hand before your mouth. No one but you and the Lord need know, but saying the words specifically is a powerful thing. Let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge before you that I have sinned by... I confess this sin. I renounce this sin of... And in your name, I cut myself off from all partnership with this sin. I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of this sin. Spirits of darkness who have used this sin to tempt me or afflict me, in Jesus' name, I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I have been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to this sin, both in me and in others who have been hurt by my actions. Fill me afresh with your Spirit so that I can more clearly discern your voice and live a holy life pleasing to you. If the Lord has brought an inner vow or ungodly belief to your mind, I invite you again to pray with me now. Again, I'll leave space for you to be specific before the Lord, to speak or at least whisper outside those things you want to break partnership with, the things you want to renounce. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I acknowledge before you that I have made inner vows and held ungodly beliefs of I confess these. Today, I renounce these inner vows and ungodly beliefs. In your name, I cut myself off from all partnership with them. I replace them with your truth that... I ask you to forgive me, to set me free, and close any doors that have been opened to the enemy as a result of these vows and ungodly beliefs. Spirits of darkness who've used these vows and ungodly beliefs to oppress or afflict me, in Jesus' name I tell you to depart from me and never return. I declare I have been set free, forgiven and cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, I ask that you heal all hurt and trauma connected to these vows and ungodly beliefs. Fill me afresh with your Spirit so that I can more clearly discern your truth, hear your voice, and live a holy life pleasing to you. How great is our God that he has set us free in response to our repentance and renunciation before him. I just want to add there are times when it's helpful to pray through these things with others who can encourage us and help us in the discernment process and who can agree with us in prayer. The healing service is an opportunity that comes around every month where you're welcome to come with things you'd like to pray through and be free of. And you can contact me or any of the Oak Tree pastors if you'd like to make a time to talk and pray more. It's a joy and a privilege to pray with people and see them set free and living in all that Christ has for them. Now, in Anglican services, we usually end with a blessing, but I'm going to pray a blessing on us now at this time as well before we move into our time of worship, as we reflect on our freedom in Christ and the healing work he's doing in our midst this very morning. Holy Spirit, you have heard these confessions and brought these renunciations into effect in the life of each one who's come before you in honesty of heart. I ask that you would move upon us in new and powerful ways, bringing gifts of healing, of joy, of freedom, of worship, and new gifts for serving in the kingdom of God. And so may the blessing of God be upon each one of you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his love and give you peace this day and always. Let us worship the Lord in freedom.